Let's see here. While flying from Denver to Kansas City, Kansas, my mother was sitting across the aisle from a woman and her 8-year-old son. Mom couldn't help laughing as they neared their destination, and she heard the mother say to the boy, "Now remember, son, run to Dad first, then the dog." "Dad, are bugs good to eat?" asked the boy. "Let's not talk about such things at the dinner table, son." After dinner, the father inquired, "Now, son, what did you want to ask me?" "Never mind," the boy said. "There was a bug in your soup, but it's gone now." The science teacher asked, "When is the boiling point reached?" The science student said, "When my father sees my report card." You ever heard this? Don't ask me, ask your mother. And lastly, a company held a contest for kids with the theme, "The nicest thing my father ever did for me." And one kid answered, "He married my mother." I think that was the mother, though. With applauding there. Fathering is all about leadership. It really is. I thought about being a dad, and I thought about it's like being a farmer. You know, a farmer has to do several things. He's got to prepare the land. He's got to plant the seed, and he's going to provide for the crop with the sunshine, the rain, make sure it gets everything that it needs. And here's what you're looking for: a harvest. And you know, when you start out, when a farmer starts out, he starts out, put the picture up there for us, Linda, with something like this. Just an old barren piece of ground. There it is. There's where we start out. I mean, we got nothing. And we're going to turn that whole piece of field, if we're a farmer, into a beautiful crop, into a beautiful harvest. But there are several things that had to happen for that to occur. So as I was thinking about different dads in the Bible, I just kept thinking about Eli. You know, Eli was one of the last judges. And so he's right there in the beginning of 1 Samuel. And Eli was a good guy. He was trying to live for the Lord himself personally. He did a lot of good things. He was a judge, and he was over Israel, and he was in the priesthood. But there's something he didn't do very well. He struggled at being a dad. In fact, he struggled so much so that the Lord decided that he was going to bypass his sons in the priesthood to carry on leadership over Israel. And that's why Samuel came into play. Remember Samuel's mom, Hannah? She couldn't have a baby, and she prayed and asked the Lord, and the Lord said, "I'm going to give you a son, but I want him to be raised in the temple, in God's house there with Eli." And Eli did a good job there with Samuel. But Samuel was also part of that recipe, in that Samuel was listening to the counsel of Eli. And he respected his authority. And so God turned Samuel into a tremendous man of God, as we all know, as he served Saul and then introduced King David. But in chapter 3, we learn about Eli's family and his difficulties. The Bible says there in chapter 3, verse 13, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them." This is, unfortunately for Samuel as a little boy, the first time that God calls to him and gives him a word to speak. This is it. And he's got to say this to Eli, who is his spiritual father. And Samuel, the Bible says, was afraid to do it. But Eli encouraged him. He said, "No, tell me what the Lord has spoken. And whatever the Lord has spoken, may it be done." Well, a little bit later, is Eli's two sons go into battle. They take the Ark of the Covenant. And not only do they lose the Ark of the Covenant, the two boys are killed. And the messenger comes back. He tells Eli. The Bible tells us that Eli was a large man. When he heard the message, he fell back, broke his neck, died. One of the boy's widows had a baby at the same time, and upon hearing the message, after the baby was born, named the baby Ichabod, which means "the glory has departed." Tragic, terrible story. A story that we don't want to repeat in our own lives. And so we want to pay attention to what God says. We know God wants blessing for our lives and for our children and our children's children. But there are certain principles that we need to understand and live out. And that doesn't always take place. Even when Dad does everything he's supposed to do, and nobody ever does everything they're supposed to do. Last week, a Southern Baptist preacher came by the office from Houston. And he had said, he sent me an email. I never saw it. It must have got spammed. But he assumed that I had read it or had seen it. And what he was asking me to do was to be prepared to go down to the courthouse and pray with several other people in our community. And he was doing this, has been doing this week by week in several communities around the South Texas area. And so this was our particular Wednesday for Wilson County. And so I said, "Sure, you bet. I'd love to do that." So I met him down there, and several of our local officials were there and several other people. And we prayed. But before we prayed, he shared with us that he had two kids. He had a boy and a girl. He was probably about 50 years old, I'm guessing. And so his kids are grown. And he said, "It's a great day today." He said, "Because last Wednesday," he said, "my daughter called me. She's been gone for 9 years. She left and said she was going to go in a way where she didn't want to follow the Lord. And we hadn't heard from her in 9 years. And she called me back. She called me last Wednesday," he told us. "And she said, 'Daddy, can I come home?'" And he said, "Sure." And so she's coming home today. And so it doesn't always, everything is not always picture perfect, even though we're trying to do the right thing. But I got to thinking about Eli. Why do you think Eli didn't want to discipline his children? That's really the accusation, the indictment that the Lord has given to Eli. His two boys were in the priesthood. They were in leadership. And you know, when you're in leadership, you really got a special calling. You need to know you're living in a fishbowl, like it or not. People are watching you. And they're looking at you to see how you're supposed to model the Christian life. For better or for worse. And Eli's sons, they disregarded that. And their father, anything he tried to say, they disregarded that. But the Bible says that God was going to judge his house because he did not discipline his kids. And part of that discipline probably was taking them out of the priesthood. since they were living the way they were living, and he didn't do that. Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he discipline his kids? Well, you know, today we live in a world where people can't stand the thought of disciplining their kids. Do y'all remember watching or reading the book Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? You remember that? And you remember there were other kids there besides Charlie that got the golden ticket, and they went through the factory, and one by one they got knocked out because they were the spoiled, most spoiled kids you could ever think of. And anytime their kids wanted something, boy, all their parents just came running. They didn't discipline their children at all. And of course, Charlie, who came from a very poor background, he knew something about authority and he knew something about respect. Remember how respectful he was to his grandfather and even to Willy Wonka? And of course, he ended up, you know, inheriting the chocolate factory as a result of his conduct. You know, as I think about Eli, and I'm just guessing here, I think one of the reasons that Eli didn't discipline his kids like he should have is because he loved them too much. You see, parents that love their kids too much, they don't want to inflict pain upon them. They don't want to inflict any kind of suffering upon their kids. They want everything to be just kosher and happy and give them whatever they want so they'll be pleased. That's not God's way. Y'all remember that proverb that goes something? Y'all help me out. I think it goes something like, let's see. Spare the rod, hate the child. Something like that. Remember Dr. Spock? He wrote his infamous book on child rearing in 1960, and he said, the worst thing you can do to a child as a parent is spank your child. 20 years later, he wrote another book, and he said, the worst thing you can do as a parent is never spank your child. I don't know if he had kids of his own or what happened, but something happened in the interim, and he realized that was totally bad, and God had it right all along. You see, every parent has this dilemma. Well, not every parent, but most parents, parents like you and me and most of the people we know, you love your kids. Boy, you love them. Man, you love them. You give your eyeballs for them. You give your hands for them. Whatever. If they needed your liver, your kit, you give it to them. You just love them. And sometimes you love them so much that it gets in the way of helping them. Remember that other scripture that says, seek ye first your kids. No, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your number one goal as a father is to love God more than anything or anyone else. If you really want to help your kids, love God more than you love your kids. So when you're reading God's Word and you begin to understand the principles by which God wants you to live and the principles by which He wants your kids to live, you're going to instruct your children with those principles, even though it might inflict some pain upon their lives. Because you know it's not only in their best interest, and not only is it in your best interest, but it pleases God, and whom you love more than anything or anyone else. And that can create friction sometimes. But you know, parenting, being a father, is all about leadership. It's like being a farmer. One of the things you got to do as a farmer is you got to prepare the soil. Now, you may not believe this, but there was a time before John Deere tractors existed. And before they existed, the farmer got out there with a couple of mules and a plow. He would go to that piece of property that doesn't have nothing on it. And he would get out there and he would start plowing behind those oxen to dig up the earth and to cut through the rocks and the roots. And what's he trying to do? He's trying to prepare the soil. What's he got to do to prepare the soil? He's got to make it soft. If it's hard, when he plants the seed, it's just going to fall. Jesus talked about this. It's going to fall on the top of the ground. It's not going to take root. Birds are going to come, eat it up. You're never going to have nothing. No, you've got to create fertile, soft ground. And that takes work. That takes work. You get behind that plow. I've never done that before. Man, I bet that was tough, tough work, man. But see, that old farmer, he's looking, he's thinking about the end result here. He's thinking about the heart. He's thinking about going home and seeing his wife and his kids, and they're going to be hungry. And he wants to take care of his family. And so he's plowing out there by the sweat of his brow to dig up that hard ground. We got to do that as dads, because every one of us are born with a sinful nature. The first word your kid learns is not mama. It's no. Right? And you got to help them through all of that. You got to prepare their hearts. You've got to help their hearts become soft and tender, because the day is coming when you're going to want to plant the seed of the gospel. And so as they're growing up, what do you want to do? You're wanting to introduce them to the scriptures. You want them to see mom and daddy praying. Do you guys pray before your meals? Do you just do that at home, or do you even do that when you go out to a restaurant? Do your kids ever see you? Do they ever catch you reading the Bible? Do your kids ever catch you praying? It prepares their hearts to be soft. And so they're going to grow up, and you're going to be helping them make good decisions, and you're going to be instructing them and teaching them about respect and authority and telling the truth and doing things that are right and treating others in a respectful way and valuing other people. And you're going to be talking about those kinds of things. And you're not only going to be talking about those kinds of things, you're going to be living those kinds of things. Because it's not just enough to say it, you got to live it. I mean, you know, if you're talking to your kids about not losing their cool while you're blowing up, that's no good. Blowing up, clamming up, it's no good. And believe me, I've done it all. Isn't it wonderful to know that you don't have to be perfect to do all this? You know, I mean, you know, the thing about it is, by the time you get a handle on this, your kids have already left and gone. You're like, wait a minute, I'm just now learning what to do here. That's called grandkids. Hopefully you develop a relationship with your kids so that when they leave and they go get married and they have kids, you can interject a word every few weeks in there to try to help them out as they're raising their kids, since you've learned some things. Hopefully they respect you enough that they might say, Dad, well, what do you think about this? Well, let me tell you how I blew it. Right? Because we not only learn from our successes, what else do we learn from? We learn from our failures, and we have failures. But we can learn from that. So we're preparing this ground. The day comes when we share the gospel, and they hear the word, and they receive Christ into their hearts. That's why it's so important, especially during those early years, why all this is going on. We know that when a child, adolescent, reaches 18 years of age, if they have not accepted Christ, chances are they never will. Their hearts have grown hard. And then it just gets harder and harder. That's why it's mom and daddy are a big part of this puzzle. Malachi chapter 2, I think it's verse 15, tells us, the reason that God gave and put a mama and, or a man and a woman together is to become a mama and a daddy to produce godly offspring. So, sharing the gospel, we eventually plant that seed, and then we don't just plant it and say, the farmer doesn't say, well, I'll just forget about it and sure enough we'll have a harvest. No, he's got to make sure we've got sunshine and we've got rain. Of course, where we live, we don't get a lot of that, and so we have a lot of farmers that irrigate. And they're going to make sure they get all that water. And that's why, as a dad, in being a leader, you want to lead your family to constantly be in Bible study, constantly be in the fellowship of the church, constantly be in worship. And you don't want to do it as a tyrant. You want to have fun. And you need to have something. Man, if it's all no fun and it's all, you know, a disciplinarian, you know, taskmaster, that's not going to help either. You need to have some balance in your life. I had some really good times with my dad, even though my dad taught me a lot of these things. And we went fishing together and went to the beach house and worked all weekend and came back home. And we had a good time, though. We had a lot of fun. And so you got to water that seed. You got to make sure it's got the right stuff so it can grow and it can mature. Because what's going to happen is, if you allow God to use you in your life, someday you're going to get a harvest. You're going to really see that seed mature. It'll be something like, wow. Remember what we started with? Barren piece of ground? Look at that. Look at all those colors. All those good vegetables there, beets and carrots, corn on the cob, looks like a little cabbage. I think there's some parsley there. I might see a couple onions there, maybe some Swiss chard. Boy, lots of good stuff there. That's what we're looking for. What's it going to look like for you? Not always, you know, every child has to make his or her own decision, but you're going to do your part to make sure that things like this can happen. Your kids, you know, they make a decision for Christ, they get into high school, kids start tempting them to do things that are contrary to the will of God, and they say no. And you don't even know about it. Nobody else is looking. So I'm not going to do that. My daddy didn't teach me that. That's not what God wants me to do. Then they get out of high school and they go to college, and kids start tending to do things, and they say, no, I'm not going to do that. They see all these other kids, and they're asleep on Sunday mornings, and now they get up and they go to church. They said, because that's the way I was raised. That's the right thing to do. That's what the Lord wants me to do. That's what my daddy taught me. And then they get out of college and they go get a job, and sure enough, they have to fill out their income tax now. They never knew what it was like to pay taxes. Micah said there was a young man in his office there, and he got his first paycheck, Carlos. He said, it was like $700, and he says, Mike, what happened? Mike says, what are you talking about, man? He said, they took $300 out of my check and sent it to Washington, D.C. What is this? And Mike said, welcome to the real world, brother. Taxes. And they'll be doing their taxes, and you know, they'll notice there that a lot of that's voluntary. The information you're given, they'll be tempted to cheat. No, my dad didn't teach me to do that. I got to tell the truth, even if they're going to take more money out of my pocket. And I know this. I know that if I do what's right, you cannot outgive God. You will lose that battle every time. I remember what my daddy taught me. And then they'll be getting that check, And they'll go, gosh, the government took so much, and I got to pay my rent and my gas, and there's hardly nothing left over, and man, I still got a tithe. I got to give 10% of this to the Lord. Yeah, I'm going to do that because I remember you can't outgive the Lord. This is the right thing to do. I want to be a blessing to the Lord. They might have some employer that doesn't like them or treats them unfairly, and they'll say, oh, that doesn't matter. So because I know that God owns all authority, and I'm going to respect the authority over me. I remember watching my daddy do that. And that's the right thing to do. And they're going to tell the truth, and somebody's going to invite them to some shaky business deal that's unethical, and they're going to say, brother, I could make all the money in the world with this, but if it's not right, count me out. And that's a harvest. That's the kind of harvest that you want. Do your kids always do everything that they're supposed to do? Did you do everything that you were supposed to do? No, none of us do. And so here's one last thing, this little bundle of vegetables here that's really, really good. Your kids are going to be wronged. In fact, they're going to have kids that are going to get wronged. Somebody's going to block their goal. Somebody's going to be ugly to them. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, I remember what my daddy did. He forgave them. He was quick to forgive. And I remember when my dad messed up and he did things wrong, he asked for forgiveness. And that's a harvest. That's what we're working for. And that takes leadership. Let's watch a little video and then we'll have a little minute to pray.
Ever notice in the moment your balloon came back? Or why you like to work with your hands? Or why your friends always came and played at your house? Vacations are made. Why the night monsters never came back. Or why you and the princess always had the same name. Ever appreciate how happy your dad could be when he walked into the house? Goofiness can ease the tension. Or the non-stop battle he fights between supporting his family and supporting his family. Because this Father's Day, if you really look around, you just might. Appreciate where some of your passions came from. Might wonder on the dreams of those before. And might notice that being the bad guy is sometimes a very hard job. In his eyes, and you've learned for yourself.
I remember one story where I'll close with this, and we went on a family vacation to Lake Somerville, and this was just after my parents were divorced, and it was the worst vacation of all mankind. and we had a boat, and we had the boat in the water, and my dad rented a motor home, and my dad didn't know when we got to Lake Somerville that you have to keep the motor home completely level, perfectly level, for the generator to work. And the generator operates the refrigerator and the freezer. And he didn't know that, so Dad had the motorhome tilted just a little bit, but didn't really realize it. And so he's the kind of guy that he doesn't want to talk to anybody or call anybody. He wants to try to fix it himself. We ended up losing all this meat, all these groceries. He worked on it for about 3 days, and tools were going everywhere, and it was about 150 degrees, and Dad was just a very unhappy camper, and just when he thought things couldn't get worse, he finally decided to ask somebody, so he drove the motor home to a filling station, and the filling station had a deal that you drive through, and then the very underneath the top of the roof there were all these long lights. And Dad didn't understand that if you have a motor home that's too high, it will go right. He just cleaned out all of those lights when he drove the motor home in. And just when he thought the trip couldn't get worse, while he was doing all that, I decided that because I was 12 years old, that I wanted to drive our little pickup truck. He had a Ford pickup, and it had three on the column. You go down, you go out and up, and you pull down, right? Remember that? And so I was 12 years old, and this was the time I, oh man, I want to drive, you know. Well, the trailer for the boat was still on the truck, and I couldn't get it off. So I thought, well, I'll just take the trailer behind me. So I was driving around, you know, a little park there, and found this road. I will go down there, and I got stuck. So I had to back it up. I didn't know anything about jackknifing a trailer. And I backed it up, and I broke the trailer in half. Boat's in the water. I'm thinking to myself, we'll have to leave the boat. And then I'm thinking, oh no, my life is in jeopardy. I literally thought I was going to die. His dad was already, you know, so upset about everything. And I cried about 2 gallons of tears as I was walking back to our campsite. Dad could hear me about a half a mile away. I finally got there and he told him what happened. He just hugged me. He said, it's all right, son. I love you. I forgive you. If there's anything between you and your son, between you and your dad, call him today. I love you, son. I love you, honey.